Right, brace yourself.
Good evening and welcome to this session in the company of Mark E. Smith and Austin Collings. They're going to be talking about the new book, Renegade. I should also explain that we've also got Simon and Anna on stage. So it's the first time since I've been coming to the Hay Festival where we have on-stage security. So do behave. Mark, I'd just like to start with, I suppose, the opening chapter of the new book, which mixes in accounts of the trip to America where the band fell apart once again, and your own accounts, because the book is the first book sanctioned by yourself, written by yourself, but also setting the record straight.
Yeah, in a sort of way.
We
only finished it half an hour ago, sorry, really.
No, I still had about 20 pages to go, so to my shame. That's because Austin came to talk to me.
Yeah, okay.
Let's start about, first of all, how the two of you came together, because you've known each other for, what, 4.5 years?
Yeah, yeah.
Is he the only guy you'd trust to write this book?
I think so, yeah.
And you obviously came across the fall a bit before, four and a half years ago. Yeah. If I was asked to write a book about someone I was...
What was that magazine you wrote for? Jack. Well, James Bryan's got it. You know, Molding editor.
Yeah. So how did the idea come about, though? I mean, how did you two hook up with the idea of writing the book?
With David, though. It was my agent at the time. He said to me, do you have a good idea for a book? And obviously, living near Mark was a good idea for a book.
So, I mean, you'd obviously, you know, been listening to the fall for years. If I was in the opposition, I'd have been a bit sort of starstruck and a bit nervous, and Mark also has, if I dare say it, a reputation for sometimes being a bit touchy and difficult. Was that sort of a bit forbidden to begin with?
Was it what, sorry?
Was it a bit forbidden, you know, sort of having to write about someone you obviously respected a lot?
No, I've never been starstruck by anybody, really. It was just good to work with somebody who's clearly very good at what he does.
So how did you, what was the mechanics then of writing the book? I mean, did it come about through interviews, or did Mark write and then pass it on to you?
Collage of both. Interviews, and Mark wrote stuff down, I wrote things down, and just brought it together at the end.
Obviously the childhood of anyone is formative, and it sort of determines the shape of one's life. In four words, your childhood had things like porn, pigeons, and mock aunties. When I read that chapter, I actually wanted to know much more. You could have written a whole book about what was quite a colourful childhood, full of quite hard characters, because this was in a day when people worked very hard for a living.
Tell
me about your childhood.
One thing that was hard about the book was dragging all that shit up. It was all right, but in the end. Did you find that enjoyable?
I found I could have read a bit more of it. In fact, generally for the whole of the book, you do
see. The thing about me is that I'm not the type who likes going over the past and everything. So it was. What was very hard for me, really.
You saying that
I could trust Austin to sort of record it and transcribe it. You know, I'm not the one. Sort of one who goes on about, you know, if anything I don't like about the book, it's like, you know, in them days.
But for, you know, for all the people who've been listening to
you. No, you, it must have been fascinating for you, yeah.
Okay, that's put me in my place. You do actually say on quite a few occasions that, you know, the fall is about the present, and it's the current incarnation.
That come across to you?
Yeah. But people are still interested because you know, when you find out that some of the albums were, you know, recorded in part in Iceland and Itchen, I mean, those sort of things are quite interesting.
Interesting.
The way you described the whole business of the Fall is that you wanted to marry up primitive music with intelligent lyrics, and for 30 years, over 25 albums with a changing lineup of 50 musicians, you have been coming up with sort of running commentary on your life, the Britain around you, and so on. The business of writing you find quite easy, don't you?
Sometimes, yeah. But write every day, yeah.
And you're also like a big reader as well?
Yeah.
And the one person that I sort of have in common with you as an enthusiasm is Arthur Machen. You like horror writing and horror films?
I don't like horror films.
You did like horror films. You used to like...
No. Like horror, supernatural writing. Like Machen.
Right. But it's something...
How do you say Machen? Machen.
Well, the place in Wales, I call it Machen.
Yeah.
Because I speak Welsh.
Yep.
Arthur Machen is how I describe the fiction writer.
I think he's the best, yeah.
And that's something you both share, isn't it? You both like sort of B-movies and horror movies. And there's a bit in the book which I couldn't work out what it was, really, because you've got these sections called Voices, and I actually tried to work out whether they were taken out from, you know, people writing about Marky Smith and the Fall or whatever, but they're bits that you contributed as a fiction writer.
Yeah. Just the... Is that yours? they were sort of back in time, Joyce type, stream of consciousness, but I mean, it's just about it. Every time you'd sit down in a bar, probably their stories about Mark, which are generally untrue to anyone. So it's a sort of rampant paranoia that exists around Mark, which we actually know him, I just think he's really fabulous. But I think it's worth documenting that side of things, as well as the story that runs throughout. It's like three stories in one. So you've got the stories behind the pictures, and then the actual narrative of the autobiography. And the voices section.
Do you think, I mean, what did you think accounts for the fact that... what do you think accounts for the Fall's extraordinary influence? Because, you know, John Peel famously said every song different, but every song the same. And in a singular way, and I think Mark says this in the book, that you can listen to lots of the songs and they all sound the same, but not in, you know, the Fall has got a very distinctive furrow it's actually following.
I think it's just the, I mean, the immensity of that body of work is unprecedented, isn't it, really? And the continuing brilliance of it, really. Not to keep going on about it, but you read it, I think that is Britain over the past 25 years.
It's quite surprising.
But you've got to work at it a little bit, it's not as easy as you find it.
It's quite surprising to me that a book of Fall lyrics hasn't appeared before now, because obviously with people like the Pogues, people recognise that the lyrics stood up.
No, you can get a book of Fall lyrics.
No. Tell me about the sort of at the moment you I was asking you earlier about the sort of stuff you read, and just in the same way in the book I find it surprising that you quite liked the Glitter Band at one point, and you loved Stevie Wonder. The sort of books you're reading at the moment are books of Napoleonic history.
Yeah.
What is it about Napoleonic history that appeals to you?
I think if you look at from Napoleon, like, from 1800 right up to the late 1890s, you see a sort of repeat there, and, you know, like now, you know, it's like, I don't want to get too pretentious, but you know, you see Afghanistan is 1890-odd. It's when the British Empire started going through the window, you know. So you just see a repeat all the time.
Because you do that a few times in the book, where you look at different periods, say the 70s, and you try and work out what went wrong. It is sort of, you know, hippies kind of age and they take over. And then you look at the sort of Bush Blair eras when flood management took over. You actually have a basket trying to work out points where things went wrong.
Well, yeah, in the main, I'm just a singer the other day, you know. If you look, those people don't read books, you know. I don't think Tony Blair's ever read a fucking book. You know, it's a shocking thing, you know.
Obviously, you know, you have a love of literature that it translates through lyrics. But you're saying you're only a singer, but in fact, because you know there's a cult around you, you've got a big fan base. People actually take what you say as meaning sometimes much more. You take on a role as a cultural commentator.
Did you reckon? No, I mean, it's interesting to me what you're saying.
Well, you know, people expect that. I mean, people actually try to find dissonant extra meaning in the lyrics and so on.
I think if you're looking from a Welsh perspective, I don't mean, but you know, you'd be very literal. You know, where I come from, they don't read books. I come from Manchester. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I think, you know, the seriousness is as it's important as what you attach to it.
Okay. One thing that intrigued me a lot is this period in your life when tarot and tarot cards...
Well, that was his idea, not mine. There's one thing you should not do, and I've not brought this up with him. You shouldn't put the tarot in a book. Bad book.
So it's like mentioning the Scottish flavour.
He just shot of a chapter title, wasn't he?
But it is actually the longest chapter title, because if you name all the tarot cards, it becomes the...
No, well spotted, really.
My mother said I was educated beyond my intellect. I'm sort of feeling it this evening.
Getting paid by the words.
The albums that you produced, though, you do actually pay some attention to some of them. I mean, Hex and Duction Hour and Life of the Witch Trials. You single some of them out, and that must be because you actually... recognise them with pride as being landmarks in your own career.
Correct.
So which one's sort of, you know, when you, if you look and say, okay, this is my legacy to date, and I know that you're concerned about the next album being as sharp and interesting as ever, ones that you think, okay, I'm really proud of that, or that moves things on?
Well, I like Hex, and I like Chef Work.
And what is it about those?
I think I hit the sort of nail on the head when I was recording them. You know, sound fresh to me.
There's obviously
a lot of teenagers say that when they hear sort of Hex Induction Hour, when it came out, you got to remember it was like an hour on vinyl. It was like pressed up in some crap hole in France, you know. And so, it was like unlistenable, really, and now it's been like remastered. And you can hear what I was actually saying, you know.
And with that one, I mean, obviously the fact that it was then sort of represented the world. I think was it Sanctuary Records who brought that out?
Yeah, re-released it.
So that's actually.
But at the time, it was I wanted it to be my last record, you know, because I didn't think we were going to bring any more records on.
Because obviously,
it's 1982.
But obviously, when you look at the changing lineup of bands, you do well. you could say this is you being a hard taskmaster, but you actually see there's a sort of task and finish thing very often with an album, isn't it? Do you find the right people for the right time to stick in the room and record? Or is that being too simplistic?
There's too much made of it, I think. Some people wanna, you know, some people wanna be musicians. I never consider myself as a musician, even though it's on my passport and all. No, I'm not, no.
What
you're playing an A and an E, you know.
Because in one part of the book, you actually say it's more important to be a man than an artist.
Right.
Am I that? Because lots of people will actually see you as an artist and actually say, this guy found his voice a long time ago and has actually kept at it and refined it.
What?
Okay, the way you put that song.
You did like it, I didn't.
No, the way you put it.
He found his voice down the shaft. So what are you saying to me?
Lots of bands go through different phases in their careers and they get dissatisfied.
I'm not in a band, I'm in a group.
Okay. Well, the Fall is very...
It's a group. Yeah, it's not a band.
No, it's okay.
A band is what plays, you know.
But Paul did play in working men's clubs and all that. You know, in the early days, it was quite a hard apprenticeship, wasn't it?
Very much.
John Peel gets mentioned because obviously John Peel was a champion of yours. You didn't know him very well, but yet, and in fact, there was a period which you pointed in the book where for 2 years he was a bit disgruntled and left you be for a bit, and then he rediscovered you. But there is that link between John Peel and John Peel's championing, certainly in the early days of the Fall, which makes the two of you synonymous.
Yeah.
I think the thing about John is we always kept very much apart. Of course, I was upset, you know, when he died and all that, but you can't get anywhere with things like that, you know. He'd always send me postcards. When he was an old and but if I saw it, it would just go all right. Very sure I didn't talk to him much. You know. And he never talked to me much.
I noticed as well that in your house you've got just three chairs. One for you, one for Mrs. and
two, actually.
Yeah. Oh, there's one for Gaffy, isn't there?
Since they're out of the book, yeah, there's one.
And
one's gone.
Because once a year.
You might come round.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward. I'm expecting the invitation and, you know, tomorrow. Then once a year you have a big clear out, don't you? You actually like having parking a skip outside and chucking everything out.
Well, is that in the book as well?
Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Well, you do that, do you?
Yeah, I do, yeah. It's called spring cleaning.
We'd live in a mess in ours. But
ask us in this question.
No,
I was going to get rid of my dad's army script.
Yeah.
And a table. So just clear them out.
And was it then? That's the extent of it.
I kept it.
When I went round to Austin's, you know, 3 hours.
I'll get rid of that dad's army script there. And I've got this built army book as well. So I'll get rid of that as well. And get rid of the table that it's.
He's in his kitchen and we're like finishing the book up and it's like a rewrite of dad's army as well. Get rid of this. This is, you know, if you're a fella living on your own, you don't know.
But if you remember the business of writing, though, you were saying earlier that, you know, you don't find it that hard, but is it sort of do you just need space and a bit of time? Is that the way it works? Or do you have to work to find the stuff for songs, or do they sort of come to you and be...
What do you mean? Do you mean the books?
Or the lyrics of the songs. Because that's the main, you know, I know that in different incarnations...
You're talking about lyrics?
Because I remember the first time that I came across four lyrics, and it was when my mate Alan Watkins, who was the first guy to open the car, came round and had one of your first EPs, and it had the song Repetition on it. And I loved the line with the 3 hours repetition. I thought, this is a funny band, you know, that's actually, like, the lyrics are funny, and it's alright to laugh along with them. And I think that, you know, throughout the music I listen to, yes, some of it can be quite dark and menacing, and some of it can be quite, you know, sort of shining light on dark corners, but lots of it is actually quite funny as well.
What I've always found about the Falls lyrics is people say more about it than I could ever say. I can't really explain that.
Yeah, that's true for, you know, so much art, isn't it? I mean, people write something, they've said all they want to say in the lyric.
The funny thing about me is that as they, the more I go along in life, you know, the more people, I can learn more. People just tell me things all the time, like, if it's like, oh, it's like disturbing sometimes.
Did you find
I don't have to say much, really, which is why the book was a bit hard.
Mm. I mean, why was it hard then? Or what was it about the book?
Well, it was hard because he was like pumping me for, like, you know, childhood and the 70s and 90s and all that crap. You know? And I don't genuflect on that, you know.
But of course, because you wanted to write, you know, the best book you could. You needed to have all of that, and there's a line in it somewhere where Mark says, "I only say this, I only describe these things about the band because my ghostwriter and publishers wanted it."
What was that
again? You know, it actually says in the book at one point that there's a description of some of the members of the band. And the and Mark actually says, "I'm only saying this because my ghostwriter and publisher."
I don't think you get it. Go against that staid idea of an autobiography. So you make it as honest as you can. That's why the B.S. Johnson quotes at the start of it, because he found it hard to write a proper narrative without actually talking about himself or what's going on at the time. So I think the only way you reflect anybody is to actually put it right there on the page. So it's as if you sat with Mark in a bar, it's very conversational, very immediate, and hopefully readable.
You mentioned B.S. Johnson then. B.S. Johnson, yeah. Of course, famously shifted things around and would drop things in.
So yeah, that's why there's so many different narratives that run throughout it. Like Albert Angelo and Christy Maris, and I think there's a... I mean, I like a good story. I like Graham Greene and Leonard and people like that, but I also like B.S. Johnson. And I think Mark lends himself to that idea of things going off on a tangent. And also, as you said before, in the bar before on the boat, he contradicts himself. I don't think that's a bad thing to put that down on a page. I think that's a very honest thing to do, actually. You get too many editors who impose themselves and want to make it straight up narrative when in fact it isn't. Your life isn't, is it? Mine isn't. It's just the same to everybody. I just wanted to put it down on the page as Mark is.
So it was hard for Mark because he doesn't reflect on these things and doesn't necessarily look back at the 70s and so on.
But we had a good laugh doing it, though.
Yeah. What was the frustration for you, therefore, in writing it?
Because it's the first book I've written, I think.
Because it's a fast read and it is funny, and you get a sense of Mark Smith, but I did feel I was left wanting more.
So you don't like it?
I'd like to hear about some of, you know, it's sort of, you take a pot shot at you know, some people, you know, some of the big names and all the rest of it, and you just think, well, I'd actually like to know Mark's opinions about a lot more. You know, you sort of do a quick sort of couple of lines on Bush and Blair, But, you know, because we lived through the Bush Blair era, and it's actually changed the world around us.
But how many books do you actually get about now, you know, that was the thing you were trying to write about here and now?
Mm. Which reflects, you know...
You could write a sequel, though, couldn't you?
I'm not sure that I'd be invited up, really. Would you get a chair that you could have been sitting out and actually talked about?
The attempt we were trying to make was to write it as now, you know. But Austin's a journalist, and I'm in a group. But what we tried to do was like make it in the now. We knew it'd sound off. Mm. You know what I mean? And there's things that Austin said to me, and he called me, "You sure you want to put that in?" And I was like, "Yeah, just bloody ram it out." You know what I mean? Because I don't think there's enough books like that that start off in the first person. That's why it starts off in 2006. That's why, I wanted it like first person, third person, rubbish. You know what I mean? You know, 6-page more rants about today, you know. 10th chapter, I said to him, 10th chapter, I'll just give you something I've written today, you know. Because I think that's how books should be written, you know.
Instead of trying to strive for a sense of timelessness, mm-hmm. I think you're actually nailing now. You find it on the page.
My favourite sentence in the whole thing was how you describe running the fall, like running an unhappy guest house. that was a great description of. Because obviously, lots of the ex members of the fall have gone on to. Make like little mini careers of themselves talking about them. Yeah, and then of course there have been other books written about the fall. Presumably read those and didn't like them, or didn't like them a lot.
No, I can't read them, but I don't know. Why have you read them? What books?
There must be acres of newsprint has been written about the fall. I mean, there's been a mini industry.
This is the main reason I wanted to do this book.
The whole business of
it's like what I was saying to you before, you know, it's incredible what other people talk about before. They reveal more about themselves than they do about me, isn't
it? Was it last year, the year before, someone actually got it a collection of
shop? I mean, you're thinking about repetition, that's heartbreaking, that. The first single, you know, and crying.
Why is it heartbreaking?
No, it's just it was very moving what you said about the first ball single.
The fall is currently going through it's going through like a really good phase at the moment. You're on a roll at the moment. Can you explain that? What it is about, you know, there's something happening in your life at the moment?
I don't know. The fall always seems to do well when everybody's going down.
I used to work as a current affairs journalist in the height of the Thatcher era, and it used to shame me that it was the easiest time to work because you could find loads of people being shafted all the time, and I was being paid more than I've ever been paid in my life before, and that somehow some people find out of some good things born of misery, some
bad schadenfreude.
So what is it about, is there something about, your personal life or this? Because that's the other thing that has happened. You actually seem, in the book, you touched upon your personal life, and it's a good time for you.
What, now?
Yeah.
Nah. I've always been a bit of a cheerful fella.
So not half the time people think I'm taking the piss, but actually.
Yeah, but I mean, there's a. Because you could send me.
What are you talking about? So when you were a newscaster. It was a good time there. What with all the earthquakes?
No, it was just.
What were you walking down laughing at all?
It was just. Like, things were so bad around you, you didn't have to work.
When was this?
It was about the same time that. Mr. Statue closed down every steel road in the town I came from.
What year is this?
So we're doing this again. Oh, it's something that makes me...
What's that going to do with the phone? What's that?
Just making me more conscious.
I'm just trying to make a conversation. Not doing it very well. I asked you about the sort of the books you read at the moment. What sort of music do you listen to at the moment?
just what I'm working on, I listen to a lot of dub reggae and stuff.
Because that was one of the
50s stuff.
Yeah.
For some reason, just because the sound of it, because very interested in getting back to that like scratchy sound and the four track sound, which is hard to get nowadays in the studio.
Because you talk about that when you talk about the early days of John Peel, the one thing you loved about that was the fact you were being introduced to so much interesting reggae and the dub reggae and so on.
No, I didn't need John.
I don't know this. I mean, the recent albums, have you produced them all yourself? Because in the past you've had sort of some people you've worked with for like a run of albums and stuff. I mean, who are you working with at the moment?
Who?
Are you producing your own albums at the moment?
Yeah.
So that means and
what I do is try and get the best studio as I can, the best engineers.
And which of the, because you've mentioned a few of your favourite studios, you actually say at one point, you mentioned the eighth wonder of the world, which is Rochdale, and you've actually recorded in Rochdale, and you've been twice there.
It was going back to Rochdale, because a lot of the places I go, the engineers just have nervous breakdowns.
Where would that be? I mean, when you go into an album, you presumably
work... No, we did the last three LPs.
Yeah.
The engineers and producers cracked up, so this last LP I said to the group, did the bass player and drummer, which is quite young, and I said to watch it, let's make sure we don't crack them up, but all three of them cracked up. At once. So the last LP, I tried to do it in three different places, like London, and Wales, and
is that because
I was trying to move it around this last LP, so I went to Germany, Dusseldorf. So I kept moving it round, and everything would be alright, but all three of them cracked up. The engineers and the producers. I can't help it, it's got these doing me. They're all off the rockers. That's what an LP costs. Well, that's a good LP, I'll send you in my book.
You've also, you've collaborated with Austin on this book, but you've also collaborated with some fairly interesting people in the past, with, say, Michael Clark, for instance, or working with a contemporary choreographer. And that was quite an unexpected mix, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's what I meant. That's half in back to the past.
Okay. We're going to just stick with the present now, because there's a little light on, which says we've got 10 minutes to go. And it's the audience's chance to ask questions of Austin. There are two roving microphones. If you just wait for the microphones to arrive with you. Yeah, there's a gentleman down the third row.
Hello. What's with the security? Is it to protect Mark from the audience or the audience from Mark?
It's not an answer.
Yeah, there's a questioner saying, you know, shall I throw him out? So. We just asked why the security. I'm not using
no security. Where's the security?
You should have been here when Phyllis was here. Without security.
Did you
exercise
in the
stage? Guys.
Just the guys in the stage.
What?
There was security on the stage.
That's
a
kid,
this is a friend of mine. Two friends of mine.
Yeah, there's a
fire
in the middle.
They're here to protect you from me.
Who do you like to see as the next Prime Minister, Mark?
Sorry, can't feel it.
Who would you like to see as the next Prime Minister?
Prime Minister?
I don't know.
Making a difference. What would you? What do you think? What do you think? Hello.
Go
for it.
Yeah.
Get a shave.
Nice one, mate. You got all this new film that's coming out about Manchester Lord Control. I mean, what do you think about that kind of reinterpretation of the Manchester post-punk period, as some people call it? Are you in favour of it or not?
Yeah. It's time for all that stuff. Well, it's all looked through in rose-coloured glasses, really, isn't it? Yeah. Austin's got something to say. What do you think, Austin?
Hopefully the book's the end of all that, anyway. I mean, I don't think there's any much more you can say about it. Being Curtis or you want it by the actor.
What do you think? What do you reckon to it?
I think it's shows that what it does show is how modern music has been completely corrupted by big business, completely simply. Now in that post-war period, innovation and freshness and
I agree, yeah.
There's so much shine going on. It's lost its soul.
Bill Dixon says that. Yeah, you're right what you're saying. No, I agree.
Yeah. Hi, Mark. Yeah. You say you write every day, but I'm just interested to see how much you actually write every day and how much you chuck away and how much you actually keep and use, like on Earth. And whether, you know, you sort of get into cycles, like you use a lot more at a certain time and chuck a lot more away at a certain time, or, you know, whether you use the same, you know, whether you just keep a constant sort of rate of like production, basically.
I start about 7:30 in the morning. I go right through till 12, you know. That's not every day, obviously, because I have to do shows and shit. But that's the usual routine, and like, cut the phone off and that.
But how much of that do you actually use? You know, how much do you actually use as a sort of like, you know, as a percentage wise? Your sort of album.
Yeah, very little actually. About a fifth, I'd say.
About a fifth, yeah. What do you do with the rest of it?
What do you do with the rest of it?
Oh, the rest of it, yeah.
Physically, what do you actually do with it?
Like vegetables over the room. In case anybody reads it.
Question, Mr. Smith. Love the book, but what's next for the fall? What have you got coming up?
Got a done a hit at Russia, actually. Estonia and Croatia, I think that's the best way to go. Done a tour there. Get them back for what they did to us. We're getting a bit cheeky.
Anyone else?
It's true.
Estonia and Croatia, that's where we're going.
Any more questions?
Just one. Mark? Sorry, I've got to wait.
It works both ways, you know, the coal market. I've got mates in Salford that actually emigrated to Bulgaria.
What's that one?
I was setting up pulling businesses in Bulgaria and Poland.
How much longer has been going on?
Do you remember the coal market? It works both ways.
How much longer do you see it going on for?
I don't know. 3 months, that's that's the way I look at it.
I was going the second row. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, do I need to take the microphone?
Yeah.
Hi Mark, I get the impression that you're not that impressed with the internet. Would you like to expand on what it is you don't like about the internet, please? Thank you.
What don't you like about the internet? What do you not like about the internet?
Bloggers. Nothing really. It's the tongue of Satan, but... The main thing is like how people take it for gospel, especially journalists. You know, I don't use it a lot.
Thank you.
Do you like it?
It's all right, but it can be a bit of a time waste. And
very unsatisfying, isn't it? It reminds me of...
And it can encourage you sometimes that your own thoughts are quite important and they're not really. Because you can revisit your thoughts and realise what an ass you were, really.
We've got time for two more questions.
Hey, I just wondered what you thought of hay, because I've been here a few years running and I really like it, but I just wondered what you thought of the festival, if you're going to see anything else on a year.
It's what do you make of hay festival?
Me.
Yeah. Well, that was the question. I suppose you could also ask, you know, what it's like to be an author now.
What do you think? What? What are people really regarding?
I've got a Josie Wales outfit with a garden. Where are you from? Who do you support? Are you going to see anything while you're here?
I think it's a marvellous thing, man. Never seen anything like it, to be honest. I didn't even know it was going for 12 years.
21.
Dyslexic.
Looks like I've got the final question, Mark. Can you give us a recipe for squirrels?
Well, that gets back to the internet. I mean, that is nonsense that's spread around. A few poachers rang me up when that article came out and said, "I'll stand up for you, like, in Croke Court, and I'll testify." There'll be no squirrels in the North Manchester district. Since 1972. So I don't think that'll be necessary very well.
Uh,
thanks for the questions. My thanks to Mark E. Smith and Austin Collins. The book is called Renegade. And form an orderly queue outside the bookshop.
Thank you very much.
Because Mark will be signing it afterwards. But thank you very much for that.
It's a good sign then.